One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. Hell, yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the program. I'm Ryan, and I'm here by myself. Oh, hi, Dave.
What?
Oh, Bobby's here, too.
Oh, is he?
I guess we don't count as people now? What is that even supposed to mean? That was hurtful.
We're degenerates, you know, so...
So how was your Christmas?
It was fantastic. My son's just at the age where he can appreciate running around and playing with toys, but doesn't understand what's going on around him.
Doesn't understand that you bought them all from a liquor store for pennies on the dollar?
Truth time. And if people are going to say we're bad parents, my wife and I didn't buy him a goddamn toy.
No!
We didn't do a single thing.
You'd be throwing away money.
We gave him wrapping paper and stuff, but we got it shamed because his grandparents and uncle and aunt and everybody did buy him toys.
Good for you. He doesn't understand. You could have handed him a rock and he would have the same reaction.
He's just happy he got stuff. He doesn't know who it's from. He doesn't care. He's having a blast.
But, Bobby's like, that's from both of us.
Yeah.
You should tell all the relatives next year, you should tell him gifts that he wants, but say it's like stuff you want.
Yeah. Right. He really wants a new drone.
He wants a soundboard and he wants...
He's really into some upgraded RAM for this laptop.
He wants archaeology equipment.
Really following in my footsteps. Yeah,
that acorn fell very close to the tree.
Those people who buy their kids like $1,000 worth of presents when they're a year and a half years, like, what the fuck are you doing? Come on.
The same that go all out for like the first and second birthday party.
Yeah. And then the ones who insist that the party's not for the adult. No, it's a party for the kid. I'm like, why?
My wife and I did that. We threw a party for ourselves like around his year birthday, not because he was a year old, but because we had managed to keep him alive for a year. It was like a celebration. And you know what we did? We left him with his grandparents and went up to the mountains to party.
You know what? And parents always say this. They go, well, it's for the parents, man. It's more for the parents. You know, I'm like, then what's with the princess cake?
Yeah. Right?
What's with this big banner and the clown? Is that all for the parents too?
Yeah.
Just fucking, if you want to throw a party, just fucking throw a party. But otherwise, you are flushing money down the toilet.
Right, yeah. So we made a pact a while ago when the kid was born, like, hey, as long as we can get away with not doing stuff for birthdays and Christmases, we're going to not do stuff and just kind of ride that wave until he hits. You know, I'm a big fan of Christmas for a little kid.
Yeah.
When they can appreciate
it. When they're online.
Right.
Yeah, so here's it. Here's what you do. Here's the move, parents out there, is if you're getting the urge to buy your 1, 2, 3, and maybe even 4-year-old like hundreds of dollars worth of presents, you put that money in a shoebox, and you put it in the closet, and when they turn 5, have a big extravaganza with
it. That's a way better
use
of that money.
Blow their fucking mind.
I was going to say, you just set that money aside and then burn it, because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, my dad would go out for Christmas. He was an old dad, though. I was just thinking about this. Like, Aaron, for Christmas, got me this really nice motorcycle jacket that I've always wanted since I was a kid. Like, I was really into greaser movies. You know, like every kid, I worshiped the Fonz. You know, I wanted that old school biker jacket. Now, my dad he had me too late in life. He had me in his 40s, which is just a little bit too late, you know? Yeah. And he was old-fashioned to begin with. So, you know, that caused a lot of problems. Even his peers would be like, this dude's cut in the 50s here. And then what that manifests into is, like, I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons because look at this filth with the curse words like, eat my shorts. Not in this household.
Oh, I thought it was because he saw the animation. It was like, what kind of sorcery is this?
Yeah, cartoons talking?
I don't want you watching the talkie, son.
Where's the accompanying piano player? No, it, like, all of his advice was outdated. I'm like, I'd come to him like, there's a girl I really like. He's like, here's what you do. You take her out for a chocolate soda at the promenade, and then take her to a Paul Newman picture. I'm like, what are
wait
you talking about?
Wait till the sock hop. And
yeah,
then...
wait till the sock hop, and then tell her she is the most. And then you're going to be shipped out to Korea soon. So,
yeah, my parents were super old, too, so I was kind of in the same thing. Both my parents were in their 40s when they had me, and they also had really bad advice, but it also compounded with, like you said, your dad was old-fashioned.
Yeah.
I had the dual part of my dad was a Naval Academy guy and then naval officer and war vet and everything, and then my mom came from a third-world country that had been occupied by the Nazis and the communists before they escaped because they were on a death list. And so,
Navy guy marrying a foreigner from a war-torn country.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That old story.
These days it's the Philippines, but it's the same
right,
deal.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and my mom's thing, again, she literally was raised during like a communist regime and they had to escape when my grandfather's
name... Oh, you mean Obama?
when they were like on a death list. And so her thing was like, she always had really bad advice, both implicit and explicit, when it came to like cops and authorities. Like, she would get pulled over for a speeding ticket.
Oh, God.
And in her mind, just the way she was raised was like, well, there's a 50% chance I'm being shot in the back of the head right now. And she also didn't speak English very well. So the lead up to it could have happened at any point either. She always had like this like really bad advice, which was, if you're ever accused of a crime, you've done something wrong. Like, right. This is the communist country mentality. So like the principal would call me in to the office and be like, hey, we heard that you saw an incident on the soccer field today. Could you tell me about it? And they would call up your parents and just be like, just so you know, we brought them into the office because we think they saw something. And I'd get home and she'd be like, we're moving. I don't know what you're into. Are you getting in trouble on the soccer field? They're going to kill us all.
Security guard at the mall tells her to move it along. She just starts crying and handing him her jewelry.
That mentality of if you get accused of something, then you've done something wrong.
Yes, yeah.
That has so much overlap with Catholic guilt.
Yes. Well, there's a Catholic country as well. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The reason I mention it is this jacket that I've always wanted is I told him, you know, this is the other jacket I wanted. And he wasn't a cheapskate. He wanted me to have what I wanted. But, like, since he was from the 40s, he said, that's for hoods. No, that's for that's for ne'er-do-wells. And
here,
so,
let me buy you a pea coat, son.
Well, he bought me, like, a dressy bomber jacket, which was a very nice gift, but I looked like a divorced baby boomer on his way to an Eagles reunion concert to pick up chicks. It was not an age-appropriate gift.
And again, you were born in the 80s. This was the time of Fonzie. Yeah. He theoretically should have looked at it and been like, that's America's sweetheart, you know?
Right.
It's America's thug.
Yeah.
No, I love that you guys, your parents are older, because when I was growing up, when I was a kid, I had the old parents. My parents weren't super old. They were older than most of my friends. Like, my mom was 32, my dad was 28. And so my parents were older than most of my friends' parents. So now your guys having older parents, I'm like, oh, cool, I get to be the youngest.
Yeah, that's right.
I get to have the cool parents, the hip parents.
Yeah. Oh, watch out for those cool parents, though. Like, yeah. Looking back, some of those cool parents, like, what were they up to?
I've been thinking about this a lot because there was a cool mom in our group of friends. 100% she would let us come over. We would party. We would drink.
Banger. It was great.
Yeah. Well, she was super hot. And we all wanted to bang her.
Oh, yeah.
Her son was allowed to smoke weed. Like, it was really kind of a free-for-all, and she was the really cool mom. And when you're 12, 13, 14, 15, even up to like 19, you're like, this is the cool mom. You bragged to all your other friends who don't know her.
Yeah.
It was great because you got to be the guys who could throw the parties and stuff, and you loved this person. They were like a part of your family. But then you slowly get older and get some perspective, especially when you have a partner who's like, wait, what the fuck? Like, she would buy you booze? Like, what?
How old were you?
Yeah. You'd get wasted at 15.
She would tie you off when you shot up?
Yeah, right? She was great with knots. But I would tell it, and I'd be like, yeah, I guess this was kind of really irresponsible. And then you get to the point where now, like, I'm a parent, and you're like, oh, that person was a horrible parent. You think, oh, they're cool, they're smart, they get it, because otherwise we'd just be drinking in a park somewhere. And then now I think I'm like, you better go fucking drink in a park. Who do you think I am?
Can you imagine, like, you know, finding out your son was given liquor by a grown adult?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah, not just that, but like allowed to, on literally every single weekend, we were there throwing parties at this house, having people over, drinking a bunch, people were having sex. It was like the whole nine yards, and it was totally permitted. She was totally aware of it all. It was no sneaking behind anyone's back. And you have to think, like, wow, if I encountered that person now, like, my son's 1.5, but if I encountered someone now,
he's already drinking at his friend's house.
Spiked bottles.
My dad didn't get me anything for Christmas.
But it makes you think so differently about those people when you have that. You can look back and think like, oh, that thing I thought was so cool is actually just horribly irresponsible and kind of a dick move to the other parents.
I've got something a little bit similar to that, and I think I have mentioned it before, but it bears repeating, is the cool dude who was just, he was no one's parent. He was just this older dude that everyone knew, and like, you were allowed to go to his apartment and he'd buy you beer. And yeah, you at the time, when I'm 16, I'm like, dude, Pete is awesome, man.
Right.
He's got a pinball machine. It doesn't work, but he's got an iguana. This guy's fucking killing it in life. And then like later on, like, I was like 23 before, I'm like, what was that dude up to?
Yeah.
Why was he hanging out with 16-year-old? Dude, that guy was in his 30s, and he was letting high school kids come over. Like, he didn't have any friends his own age. someone got fucked. Yeah. Oh, man. So, oh, it wasn't totally me, but someone definitely got fucked.
And it's like the young girls who you knew in high school who were like 15 or 16, but they were dating a 21-year-old from the JC.
Oh, yeah.
And the excuse that they would always give is like, well, you don't understand. I'm so much more mature than people my age, and I have to do it. And then you grow up and you realize...
You were as mature as a sexual predator.
Right? Well, no. It's like the reason that he's able to do this to you, that you get conned for this, is because you're...
there's no Megan's Law yet.
Yeah. No, it's because you're so immature. Like, you have to be explicitly immature to think that that is okay.
Yeah.
You're less mature than your peers, and he's just telling you the opposite. He's telling the dumb girl she's smart instead of hot to try and get in her pants.
I feel like every woman I've dated, and certainly the one I married, has looked back and gone, oh, God, I was taken advantage by an old creep.
Right.
Oh, man, 27. I was 17. Jesus Christ.
I was in college and dating a girl when I was, like, 21, and she told me a story like that. And she was like, yeah, well, I was 17 and he was 20 and stuff. And I was like, okay, so why do you think that happened? She's like, well, I was really mature for my age.
Oh, wait, 17 and 20?
I think she was like 16 or 17 and he was like 20, 21.
Okay, that's a little bit borderline. Dancing outside.
But,
Yeah.
But here was what I propositioned to her. I was like, so why do you think that happened? She's like, well, I was just so much more mature than in my age. And I was like, okay, where are you right now? And she's like, I'm 21. And I go, okay, could you imagine right now going down to the local high school and finding yourself a sophomore to start dating? And she, like, literally, you could see the revelation come across her face, and she was like, oh, shit. Like, you realize that person is a huge loser, and I was quite immature for engaging in this activity.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's funny what you realize looking back. I was just thinking this other thing I grew up in Orange County, and there was this area, the peninsula, right on the water there. That's where we'd hang out. And there was this coffee shop or, like, bagel shop that was never open. It was like, it'd be open for like an hour a day or something. You'd go in there and some nervous Russian would tell you to get out. And I'm like, and I'd be like, how do they stay in business with this prime real estate and they're never open? Because I didn't understand what a drug front was or how to launder money through a bagel shop.
Yeah.
That was a legitimate business. You'd walk in, some nervous person would be like, get out of my store, it's 3 p.m.
I'd like 3 kilos of bagels, please.
Dude. You get an ounce of cream cheese.
Something similar to that. When I was a kid, I was like 6 or 7, you know, growing up in Michigan, me and my friend, we'd ride our bikes around the neighborhood. And there was like the corner drugstore. It was like a CVS today, like back then. And I still remember this. We went there one time and the workers were on strike. Like, they had a picket line. They had signs out front. And we don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
But one of the ladies, one of the cashiers on strike, she told us that she would buy us a carton of eggs if we threw them at the store. And we're like, okay, sure. Yeah. Like, we don't know. We're like, yeah, that sounds fun.
So you're young mercenaries, basically.
Exactly.
Vigilante justice.
She told us things like, they froze our wages, so we're on strike. Who tells that to a 6 or 7 year old?
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. I didn't realize. I missed the part where you were 6 or 7. I thought you were like 17.
Yeah.
Like,
no. Right. We were children. Yeah. I remember going back home and telling my mom, like, yeah, they bought us eggs to throw at the store because they froze their wages. And my parents were like, wait, what?
What else did they tell you to do? Was there a van?
Are they turning you communist?
It is funny, all the stuff that you don't realize from when you're younger until you get older. Like, you know, like when you would be at a friend's house when you were like 13 or 14, and then you had to go home. If your parents' friends weren't driving you home, you'd have to call up your house and be like, hey, can you guys come get me? And so that was routine. When I was, like, you know, Friday, Saturday night, you go play at your friend's house, and then it's 10 p.m. or whatever, and you have to go home. I used to always think, like, man, I must be disturbing my parents all the time. Because every time they come to get me, my dad seems ornery. He seems really, really tired. He, like, stumbles back up the driveway. Then I realize, oh, he was drunk. He was drunk driving the whole fucking time. And the reason he was pissed is because I would call him up and be like, come pick me up. And he'd totally forgotten I was gone. He's like, I'm 8 glasses of wine in, but whatever.
Speaking of staying at your friend's house, last night, just a little side tangent, last night, had a buddy over to watch TV after my set at Winston's, and we had a few too many beers, so I'm like, just take the guest bedroom. And the next morning, he was gone. Love that.
Oh,
love
yeah.
Perfect guest etiquette. There's nothing worse. Now, this excludes when I invite you to my house for, like, the weekend. That I understand I'm entertaining for the duration that you're there. But there's never nothing worse than letting someone crash, and the next morning you wake up and they're just sitting on your couch like, I guess I'm still entertaining then. You want some breakfast? Sure. Oh, God damn it. You were supposed to say no. Anyways.
No, as a guest, I totally get that because I want to leave. I'm like, I don't want to have to talk to anybody. I don't have to deal with anything. Let me just sneak out of here and fuck. Yeah.
That totally. That's second only to back when you were single and you'd have a one night stay and the next morning you'd wake up and she was already gone. You're like, yes, free pass. All right, so the holidays are over now, ostensibly. When this airs, New Year's will have happened. So I noticed something is that during the holidays, there's two types of depression. Everyone knows about seasonal depression, but I realize there's two types of the holidays. Number one is the one that everyone in this room is familiar with. The I'm depressed that it is the holidays. You know, I'm not around family. Right. All this...
there's all this happiness and cheer around me, and I'm not feeling it.
And it looks manufactured, and that makes my depression worse. And, you know, it's very much understandable. But then there's the other type of person that's now starting to get depressed while the rest of us are starting to shed some of that fucking, those dark clouds, is the person that's really upset that they're over. Do you know that January 2nd is the highest rate of suicide?
Really?
Yes, because so many people, the holidays are over, people's families fly back to wherever they're from.
It's dark outside. And
it's fucking, January 2nd in Seattle is a fucking murder fest. It's like Bird Box.
Maybe that's just people are really committed to the resolution. They pulled it off. This year, I am going to kill myself. I'm not waiting
anymore. No more excuses.
Getting it done.
I canceled my gym membership and bought a gun.
New year, know me.
I remember that as a kid. Like, as a kid, that was absolutely the case because...
What was? What,
that you would get super depressed when the holidays were over.
Yeah, because your second largest vacation of the year was over. Yeah.
Not only that, but
that's
where...
It was a long stretch to summer, man.
Second largest vacation and the closest thing you got to a year-end bonus, which was Christmas, right? Yeah. That's where you got... That was the majority of your income was like the presents or whatever you got during Christmas.
Well, when you got old enough to appreciate presents.
Right, But I remember being super sad after that. Like, I remember... I didn't have to wait till after New Year's. What the fuck are you going to do at 7?
His friend's mom couldn't even console him. Yeah.
She could if she wanted to.
She didn't try hard enough.
No, I remember thinking, like, right after Christmas was over, I was, like, going in my head, like, 364 more days. Oh, my God, this is horrible. Like, trying to do it. Okay, well, how many to my birthday? All right, well, I guess I could swing by that. It was like a heroin addict. Like, I got some methadone. Maybe that'll get me through the rest of the time.
That's hilarious.
Right. I just realized that we are guilty of a huge double standard just in this episode alone. Because I, right when I said it, I'm like, we were just talking about like a young girl being taken advantage of by an older creep. But then we were talking about your friend's hot mom. Yeah. Like, oh man, that'd be awesome if she banged you.
Oh, 100%. Well, it's also what we desperately wanted. Like we would be like, maybe if I stay a little bit longer when everybody else passes out and just talk to her about adult things like taxes, maybe I can see a boob.
But well, but it's a double standard though.
It's the same thing when a teacher bangs a student.
Yes.
It's a guy that everyone's like, ugh.
There's a manhunt. They're going after him.
But if it's a female teacher, every single guy is like, oh man, I wish you would have banged me.
Your Facebook floods with hacky fucking material.
Exactly, yeah.
And what's great about that is like when a female teacher bangs a kid, like she doesn't even leave. They just catch her. She's like, oh, was that wrong?
Yeah.
But, like, when it's a dude, like they don't find out about it until their kid goes missing and he's in Costa Rica with a different color hair.
Yeah, and what's funny is it actually is still super traumatizing because, again, think of the individual who at 35 is like, well, that 13-year-old is. Like, think of what that individual's mindset is. That's a fucking crazy lady. You remember the big one that popped off? And this had to be like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Where the woman who was like, I think in her 20s or 30s, pretty attractive lady.
Mary Kay something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she ended up banging her like 12-year-old student.
And like having his kid?
Yeah, she
got
pregnant.
Married, I think.
Well, they're still together.
No, well, she got pregnant and then she went off to jail and then came back and then got pregnant again. And then eventually, recently, I think they broke up and he was like, yeah, I've kind of realized that I've been manipulated since I was 12 years old by a crazy person who has just lied to me and told me horrible things. And like, I never knew an adult as a friend until I was banging one.
Yeah.
And she totally made the world seem like a scary place and I shouldn't go out into it. And like, I've lost the last 20 years of my life. And you're like, I guess it is evil both ways. It's just, it seems good in our head, but it's pretty evil both ways.
Yeah. So is it horrible as a person that your friend's mom was? At least she didn't bang you.
Yeah. Well, still, I would have liked it.
Now, listen, I want to go back to the people who are depressed the holidays are over. That's just like, that's not real depression. That's fuck off. Just stack up.
Why do you say that?
Because that's not, I don't know, that's just you're bummed that you had a good time and ended. That's like saying you're depressed that a party's over.
Yeah,
like you're not.
Okay, gotcha.
You were enjoying yourself and now that's over. And like Bobby said, it's going to be a little while to the next one.
Yeah.
Just Fuck off with that.
Yeah. I think there's a strong correlation of people that are upset the holidays over and people that buy adult coloring books from the Hallmark Channel. I think that there's a very strong correlation there.
And then they get depressed when they finish the last one, like, oh my God, there's no more things to color in this book. I'm so sad.
Now I have to wait for another preview after this original movie starring Candace Cameron Bure is over.
So, Ryan, you said you had a show at Winston's last night.
Yes, it was great. You know, I used to dread going there when it was under, let's call it, different management. But, but like, Alan's done such a great job with it. It was packed. They were all there for stand-up. And like, but the thing was, there was a great lineup. And all of a sudden, like, they hit the skids, like, the, a few comics in.
Right.
And a couple dudes just went up there and were gross. Just fucking disgusting. It was making me blush.
The people who think that being gross is a substitute for being funny.
Yes. They're just like period farts.
How many in a row?
Three.
So here's what's hard is, if you hit one of those after a good slide, you can kind of coast through it, right? You only have a certain set time. You can kind of go through it. When the second guy comes up who then gets back into that and continues to suck, you're like, oh man, this is really turning the show. And by the time the third guy comes up, you're like, well, I guess this is just the new reality. I guess this show must suck from now on. I might as well leave.
Yeah, no, I was able to get it back, and Zoltan was headlining, so obviously ended good. But I hate doing this, but I had to let the audience know after three just gross out comics, and you're right. Those guys hear and they go, I'm getting a reaction. Yeah. Must be doing something right.
Yeah.
I had to let them know right when I went on that I'm not one of those dudes. I just went, let me just thank the last three comics. There was too many people in here anyway. Because they did. They walked about like, you know, a third of the room. Wow. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Dude, that happened. I was on a show recently that I hosted. It was a showcase show, and I was hosting. So going as a host, you know, the audience is cold. You don't have time to read them yet. So it's kind of a tough go.
Yeah.
Next comic did pretty well, and then the show started to build. Three good comics in a row, but then the fourth comic, like, there was a noticeable drop in the room. Like, the laugh stopped, the energy dropped, and then I was looking at the lineup, and the next comic,
this
I was
last
like...
last night?
This was a little while ago.
Okay.
But the comic after that was even worse. Like, he was a comics comic, and you guys know what I mean when I say that. Like, the people in the back will laugh, the audience won't get it.
Right.
But then Jason Chenney was the one to follow those two,
solid.
And he did the same thing you did. Like, he goes up on stage, they clap for him because he's a new comic, he's like... I know you guys aren't excited. I'm not excited either. I was in the same room as you were.
Oh, I love it.
But then he proceeded to do really well.
Of course. Yeah.
But last night, I was on a showcase last night.
Yeah.
And you guys, I know we say this, comics say this all the time, but it was one of the greatest sets I've had in a long time. I was doing really well, getting laughs on all the jokes I had. Solid set.
I wish I could peek in there and it's just a bunch of people going,
No, it was a really good set. And then, I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys, I go for my closer. And I fucked the joke up.
Oh, no!
Yeah. I go to stick the landing, and I just completely ate it. I said the wrong word. I said the punchline instead of the premise.
I did
fucking
that.
Fucking killed the entire energy I'd spent 8 or 9 minutes building. I hung my head for a second. I just wanted to drop the mic and slink off stage.
Yeah.
Let me explain to non-comics what that feels like. That is your work crush. You finally get on a date with them, and things are going really well. They say, let's go back to your place. You go back, clothes are coming off, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you woke up, you passed out, and they're gone.
Well,
I was sad.
Yeah, because the thing is, even if you have a set that's not so great, or it dwindles, or you have bad parts in between, if you close strong, everybody leaves with a good impression.
Right.
Like, they go, oh, that was a great comic. Remember that closer? Oh, yeah, and it's what they talk about when they think of that set. However, you can do really, really well the entire time, and if you flub the end of it, if you break your leg trying to stick the landing, that's all anyone will remember.
Now, Dave, speaking of that, let me ask you this. Now, I know that you were hanging out in the bar area, which is where people pass to leave. When that was happening after your set last night, were people still coming up and saying you were great, or were they not meeting your eye?
Looking away?
Yeah, and you were just kind of going, thank you.
How dare you assume that I would even stay for that part of the show? I left.
All right.
I ran out.
I assume that because you worked there and you're supposed to stay, but what do I know?
When I got off stage, none of the other comics even looked me in the eye. It was so bad. Oh my God, it was terrible.
No. Yeah, I know. When I eat a dick on stage, I can't be in there. I need to go immediately. And the worst is if you carpooled with a friend who has yet to go, and so you just have to sit there. And like I said, people won't meet your gaze. They're just like, good job. I'm like, oh, this is very uncomfortable. I want to be at any bar anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's some sort of like gay biker bar where they have a very loose policy on sex. Sexual assault. Right. I just don't want to be here.
I had a situation where I was hosting, and it was going really, really well. It was a showcase setup, so there was like 10 people.
Right.
And I was in between the 9th and the 10th person getting ready, and I had been progressively hitting it harder and harder. On the times when the comics weren't doing so well, when I would come up in between, I'd get a lot of laughs, which I always love as a host. It's like I'm rebringing the show back up.
Right.
The 9th time I'm going up, I'm like announcing who this guy is. And I do a throwaway joke that I've done 1,000 times. It's about how, as a white guy, I can't shave my head because I'll look like either a skinhead or a cancer patient, and I don't want to look like either of those because one of those is a person everybody hates and they hope die soon, and the other is a skinhead. and I do that joke, which usually gets pretty good reactions, and I got a good solid laugh, and then you hear a two beat as I'm about to be like, and now next on stage, and this person stands up wearing a headscarf and takes it off and says, I have cancer. And it was probably the most uncomfortable moment for everybody in this place.
Now, let me ask, were they just trying to make it uncomfortable to be funny?
They were pissed. They were really pissed. This was livid. Like, not stand up, like, slowly rise. Like, everybody's laughing, and this person indignantly, like, pushes their chair out so it's super loud and stands up and pulls it off. And, of course, what am I supposed to do? Like, screw you, cancer patient. Yeah.
So what did you do?
I was just like, here's John, and I, like, ran off stage. And, because of that particular showcase and how we were doing stuff,
was it a club or a bar?
It was a club.
Okay.
That's
worse.
Yep. I had to be there at the end. I was driving the headliner home. I had to be there at the very end. And so I was like trying to sneak out of the way at the comedy club. There happened to be this little back room that wasn't particularly used well, and all the guys would set up their merch right in front. And so I was kind of like hiding behind it and like
You were afraid of getting beat up by a cancer patient?
I just didn't want to be seeing anybody at this point. And I was doing that same thing, and then somebody called my name. They're like, hey, Bobby, did you record that set? Because I'd been videotaping it, and I poked my head out, and right as I poked my head out, I'm just like eye to eye with the cancer patient. I'm like, what are the odds? How does this happen to me?
Did he say anything?
It was a she, and she just was still very pissed at me, and she expressed to the headliner, who had nothing to do with me, how upset she was about my joke.
See, that's the thing about people that complain at a comedy club. They'll complain to the club. They'll complain to other comics. They'll complain to the headliner. None of those people, even the club, they don't have any control usually over what's going on in the lineup.
Yeah.
All I could say, I just kept saying, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to offend you. I'm very sorry about your condition. I'm sorry.
You know what? That person's an asshole. Let me tell you why. It's because I bet you she laughed at every joke that was at everyone else's expense.
Right. No, she deserves cancer. That's what this is.
I'm starting to think so. No, dude. Like,
I'll tell you why she's an asshole. Her own body's trying to kill her. How much of an asshole do you have to be for that?
Dude, my really good friend Ashley, she's a cancer survivor. You can make cancer jokes in front of her all fucking day long. Her best friend died of it. She's very sensitive about that. But like, you can make cancer jokes around her if they're funny because she's not an asshole.
Yeah. Right.
She understands you don't actually want people to have cancer. It's supposed to be a joke. Yeah, that person that stood up during your show is a dick because they laughed at every other joke except one that applied to her, even though she knows you didn't mean it.
Well, here's what the funny part was. The headliner at that time, you guys know him, he cannot see very well, and so he did not understand what was going on, because the whole like headscarf reveal and her coming up, like, he didn't get what all the offense was about.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. It's similar to a long time ago. I have one of my jokes where there's a tag in the joke about how lupus is like a silly disease just because of the name lupus.
Okay.
And when I was telling this joke, I didn't know, but during the course of the set, there were 5 women at a table. One of them had lupus. They all got so mad at me. That they sent a message to the club later. They're like, we loved everyone except for this one comic who made fun of our friend's disease, blah, blah, blah. People die from lupus. I'm like,
oh, God.
Who gives a shit? Come on. If we can't laugh at something,
hey,
what are we doing
here? Hey, Seal survived it. How hard are you trying?
This was awkward. This was a combination of all the events we're talking about, like just not being able to complete your joke, is that one notoriously horrible show I had at the Harley-Davidson rally for a bunch of bikers. where I nearly lost my life is I was already not doing well. And you guys know I have a bit about some deaf guy on the trolley and how I didn't think he was deaf. And so I started jumping around behind him, trying to get him to turn around. And as I'm in the middle of that joke, I see in the crowd, a old biker is signing all the jokes to his deaf friend. And I just stopped mid-joke. Wow. I was like, so I'm on the trolley and... Never mind. I just went on. I was already not having a good set, so it didn't matter if I just stopped the joke.
How great would it be if I was on the trolley and... What's the deal with trolley food? Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah, it'd be great if he tried to pass it off as a different joke. He's like, and I was like, why is this red?
Yeah, I was on the trolley. Nothing? Come on, that's ridiculous. I don't have a car. Isn't that funny? See ya.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, the doing really well until the very end has always been something to me. Like, I was always, oh, man, that's going to really suck. And I thought it was going to be bad, but it turns out it was way worse when it actually happened.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah. But I'd rather that than just go up there and eat a dick for the full time.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So interesting controversy happened and very novel thing. First time this ever happened in all of MMA.
Oh, geez.
Just happened this week. They moved one of the biggest fights of the year.
Yeah, their year-end event, like their tentpole event.
From Vegas to California on like 5 days' notice.
Yeah.
How much would that suck if you're like a ticket holder? You get like some people fly to Vegas, you know, for this event.
I knew people who were doing that.
Yeah.
I knew somebody who he was flying to Vegas and he was meeting his daughter who he was flying, who was in college out on the East Coast. He flew her to Vegas.
Oh,
they had a whole the party, the $1,000 a night table in the place on New Year's Eve and like all that stuff and tickets to the fight. And all of a sudden, 5 days beforehand, by the way too late to call off the party and the flights and the hotel and everything like that.
No. Yeah, American Airlines does not understand that Jones popped positive.
Right.
That's not a refundable.
Thing, every single person related to this event is fucked. As you said, the fans are fucked. People who bought tickets, who have flights, who have hotels, who have planned this as a vacation, they're all fucked. The fighters are fucked.
Yeah.
Because now they have to pay California taxes.
True.
Because events in California now that they weren't going to have to pay for. They have to pay extra fees for licensing and all kinds of shit like that.
True.
Dana White is bitching. Everyone's yelling at him. And he's like, well, hey, the UFC is losing like $5 million or some shit. Or like, we're losing a lot of money. But
they are losing a bunch.
But Dana White buys his neighbor's mansion so he can knock them down. Yeah. Dana White can fucking eat a dick on any money that the UFC is losing.
I was just going to say, he just buys mansions and tears them down. He goes, ha.
Yeah.
So like...
Like a reporter was asking about, like, is the UFC going to help out with the fighters' extra fees? And Dana White actually replied back. He's like, who's going to pay my California taxes?
Yeah.
Well...
Fuck you.
Well, the guys on your undercard are making $10,000 for this fight. And guess what? That is one of three fights they're going to have this year.
Yeah.
If you make $30,000 a year and you lose a third of it, I'm sorry, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, for those of you guys who don't know what happened, John Jones, who is considered by a lot of people to be the greatest fighter of all time, absolutely stunning guy who's never actually lost a fight. And there's a DQ, there's a BS DQ.
Matt Hamill says he lost.
Total BS DQ.
But never really lost, has only really been in trouble a few times in his entire career. Like, not only not lost,
was
but
because
is
he
so,
broke his toe kicking a dude.
Yeah. Is so dominant that he, by the way, completely embarrassed on two separate occasions the guy who now holds both the light heavyweight and heavyweight belts.
Yeah.
He is so good, he demolished that guy twice, including a head kick knockout that was brutal. He is just an amazing fighter. He's, and by the way, from a stud line of athletes, both of his brothers played in the NFL. Absolutely amazing fighter.
You think of this fella?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. He's also his own worst enemy. The car accident where he was drunk, and I think he had drugs in the car, and he hit a pregnant woman.
Right.
And then he just like ran away. He didn't even get out and go, uh-oh. He was like, God.
Got popped for cocaine.
Yeah.
Got busted for steroids.
Cocaine multiple times.
Yeah. So this is all shit he's doing to himself that's impeding his own legacy.
Yes.
And so now this has come back to...
Wait, he had a trace amount test of a metabolite for a specific steroid in his body. It has since been kind of revealed that the most likely scenario is he did not take anything. And not only did he not take anything, but he had popped hot for this about a year and a half ago. It was shown to be a tainted supplement that he had. And again, this is a metabolite. This is not the actual substance itself. It's not like he has testosterone. He has a metabolite, meaning what your body breaks it down into. Again, they had a test that showed he had a literally the smallest trace amount of this, once again, in his system, the metabolite. But it doesn't make sense that it would actually be... There's no performance enhancement. He didn't retake a steroid.
Right.
And you can tell that because this is a long-term metabolite. It takes a certain amount of time to be in your body. He got tested nonstop. Apparently, they just revealed this... that he was the most tested USADA athlete in the world in the last 6 months.
Right.
And so he has been tested like 4 times a month over and over again, and they can show he never took the steroid. But what happens is, as you are a fighter, those guys who aren't familiar with MMA, you have weight classes, and these guys are way heavier than their weight classes. So what they have to do is cut weight to get down to make it. Well, when you cut weight, you burn fat, especially fat that you don't usually burn around your organs. Well,
let me actually simplify this, because Bobby's given us the science definition.
Yeah.
He popped for something that was, they've shown that it's probably residual from the shit he took a long time ago.
Yes.
It's nothing that was going to benefit him.
Yes.
But the Nevada Athletic Commission doesn't have enough time to investigate it.
100%.
So they decided to move the event to California,
right,
where they're like, oh yeah, we'll let him fight.
Well, the reason is because it's actually a complex reason. The time that he originally tested positive for this 18 months ago was a California fight. They did a full investigation and found out that it was a tainted supplement. So he's already been cleared. And because of double jeopardy, you can't be tried twice for the same crime. So Nevada would have to try him for the first time, whereas California Athletic Commission already cleared it. So they went like, okay, we can go back to California and do it without doing anything. I actually kind of respect the UFC for doing this, because the easier thing would have been to cut the John Jones fight. They already sold the tickets. They lose headline fights all the time. They could have cut the John Jones fight and just gone on with it. And instead, what they said is, this isn't fair. This guy hasn't done anything wrong. Like, he's done other things wrong in the past, don't get me wrong, but in this case, he hasn't done anything wrong. And not only would it be unfair to him, but it'd be unfair to his opponent, Gus, who is the only person who almost beat John Jones, gave him the best fight of his life, and since then has been on a tear demolishing everybody he's come in contact with.
God forbid they're unfair to those two, as opposed to being unfair to the thousands and thousands of fans who have paid money and made plans.
But it also would be kind of unfair to all the fans who are watching at home. I want to see John Jones fights. I've been waiting for years to see John Jones come back in. And
Everyone has.
It would suck for it to be taken out on a technicality, which... It's one thing if you get a tainted supplement and there happens to be anabolic steroids in there, and you can say, hey, it's not that guy's fault, but he has a distinct advantage over his opponent. This is not that. This is a metabolite of something that was from years
ago. I can't remember who said this or wrote this, but I was reading recently somewhere. Somebody, maybe it was Rogan, somebody was like, this is bullshit. Like, there's a week, but isn't there like a person that they can call me, listen, let's fucking get this done.
Yeah.
Look into this. Can we just fucking settle this real quick? Okay, yes. Let's let him fight. There's got to be someone who can make that decision.
I guess they were actually talking about it on Rogan, and the guy at the Nevada Athletic Commission was like, hey, I understand this. I get the science behind it. I see what's going on, these small amounts, these metabolites and stuff. I totally would clear you, but we can't have the hearing. The earliest we could have the hearing is like 2 days before the fight. So like, what are you going to do? Risk the entire fight up to those 2 days?
But they're that confident that it's nothing. So yeah, absolutely. Fucking do that shit.
But it's not about whether or not it's nothing. It's about whether or not they clear him. So, right? So the Athletic
Commission, based on everything they should.
Yeah, they should.
Ryan, you've been quiet for this. What do you think?
I'm glad they kept the fight. I mean, that's very selfish of me, but
it's
purely selfish. I'd like to see, because Jones had a tough time with Gustin because he underestimated him, which he won't do this time.
Well, and he doesn't have the reach advantage. John Jones has a crazy reach advantage. He's 6'4", but he has the wingspan of a 7-foot-tall human. So he has the longest wingspan in all of MMA, including against 7-foot-tall guys. He has a longer wingspan.
Plus,
so,
he's not going to be all coked up this time.
Yeah,
so
that's
that could be a big difference.
So he can hit you from across the ring where you can't hit him. Gus has a super long wingspan, too. So it's one of the only guys who has a similar body type, and he can't outreach him.
Yeah, so who you got?
I tell you, it's hard because we haven't seen John Jones
fight. And if
you're
listening right now and don't watch MMA, feel free to Google the results right now, because this will air after the fight. You can laugh along with us when we get our predictions wrong.
Right. I'm going to say this. It is impossible to know who's showing up. John Jones, he has had one fight in the last few years that was not that impressive. He did not look that good. I think it was OSP. But when he is on, John Jones is unbeatable. So it depends who shows up tonight. Is it going to be the crazy best of all time John Jones or not? And the best of all time John Jones had trouble with Gus. So I'm going to say this as kind of a wild card. I'm going to say, I think between the amount of times he has fought recently, how great he looked against Glover Teixeira, the fact that he didn't have all this drama coming in terms of having to worry about PED testing, I'm going Gus.
Okay. Gus by what? Decision, knockout, sub?
I'm going to go decision.
Okay.
I love that Bobby can't give you a simple answer without like an encyclopedia of explanation for it. I'm taking Gus. Decision.
All right. I'm going to go Jones decision.
Okay.
All right.
And by the way, the other interesting part of that is that very few of Jones's fights actually go to decision. He tends to put them away pretty good.
All right. So $5 then each?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. We'll make it interesting. I'll either have $10 or be or giving you each a fiver.
Or you're giving us your leather jacket.
You won't touch my jacket.
Keep talking, you hood.
Let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
This year, I am going to kill myself. I'm not waiting
no
anymore.
No more excuses.
Getting it done.
Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing